Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and you're listening to the 10 Adventures podcast. We are more than just a travel company. We are a community of active explorers who have been inspired by the outdoors. Join me as I sit down with real people to talk about their most epic adventures on this incredible planet. Welcome back to the 10 Adventures podcast. The days are getting longer. Bikes are on the pathways, hikers are in the front ranges of the Rocky Mountains. It is definitely almost summertime. So now it's a perfect time to reconnect with 10 Adventures' own Nadine about what's going on this summer, what places are popular, and maybe some hidden gems that people may not know about. Hi, Nadine. Welcome back.
Hey, Richard. It's great to be back and excited to talk about my favorite season today. Although it doesn't feel so much like summer outside in Ontario at the moment, pretty gray, I am looking forward to the nicer weather and excited to share some of my traveler's trends with everyone for summer 2024.
Excellent. So let's start there right away. What's popular? What trends are you seeing here in 2024 that maybe were different from 2023?
Yeah, so we definitely see a reoccurring theme when it comes to our guest booking summer trips. There's a few countries that we see topping the charts for summer travel every year. And the same goes for 2024. So those countries would be Italy, France, Spain, Portugal. We'll dive further into those to kind of see exactly where within those countries our travelers are headed to in summer of 2024. But then there are also kind of the more surprising countries. And there's usually a few of those that pop up every summer. And they tend to change from summer to summer. Last summer, Slovenia was a really popular destination for our travelers out of the blue, you know. To start with, we'd get a couple of bookings here and there for trekking in Slovenia. And then all of a sudden, it was like droves of people that were booking trekking in Slovenia. This summer, some unique countries that we're seeing topping the charts for European travel over the summer months would be Croatia, Ireland, and Scotland as well. So really kind of unique destinations, all offering something a little bit different. And we'll chat about each of those a little bit further on as well. But I will say, you know, every single summer, our guests are booking the Tour de Mont Blanc. And that still is the same for the summer ahead of us. Tons and tons of bookings for the Tour de Mont Blanc, which, of course, is one of the most iconic trekking routes in Europe, combining Italy, France, and Switzerland. Always very popular at this point for summer of 2024. The self-guided trips are fully booked, but we are seeing quite a lot of guests pivoting and then joining guided group trips instead, where there are some still available spaces for those. So I'd say that's the rundown, but why don't we take a little bit of a closer look at those popular summer destinations that seem to be popular year after year.
That sounds great. I'm excited because every one of those destinations, I've been to most of them. I'd love to go back. So I'm excited to hear more about each one.
Yeah, topping the charts, Italy. Italy is actually the most popular country traveled to by 10 Adventures travelers, and it seems to be the case year after year. There's no exception for summer, but we are seeing trends. Obviously, there's plenty of top destinations to travel to in Italy. We are seeing some trends with our guests traveling to specific places in Italy. So the Piedmont region has been really popular. That's in northwestern Italy. That borders France and Switzerland as well. It's known for its incredible gastronomy, including none other than their very own Barolo wine. So walking, self-guided cycling, combining that with great food and wine in the Piedmont region has been really popular for our travelers. Another route that is quite popular as well, and also in Italy, would be the Via Francigena. So this is a big long-distance route, but there is a section that's particularly popular for our summer guests, and that's the section that goes through Tuscany. So there's a bunch of different combinations, some starting in Viterbo, some starting in Lucca, ending in Siena. Really popular for guests that are looking to do a pilgrimage route. And we actually find that a lot of our guests that have walked the Camino de Santiago with us in Spain, they kind of get the Camino bug and they end up booking onto the Via Francigena to try another pilgrim's walk. So that's a really special one as well. Puglia, if we're heading south to the heel of Italy's boot, another really popular destination in Italy and absolutely beautiful. Think stunning whitewashed houses. You've got turquoise waters. It's a huge hub for seafood lovers, given that it's tucked between the Ionian and the Adriatic seas. When I think of Puglia, I just think of that like quintessential Italian postcard with the water and the whitewashed houses, and that is Puglia in a nutshell. So lots of guests doing coastal walking in Puglia and a lot of guests cycling there as well. And then last on our list, if we head off of mainland Italy, Sardinia. I love the way that sounds. So behind Sicily, it's actually the second largest island in the Mediterranean Sea. So lots going on there. It's got over 2,000 kilometers of beautiful coastline. The interior is also quite mountainous on Sardinia, so makes for really, really great hiking. What I've heard from guests that have traveled elsewhere in Italy is that, you know, going to Sardinia is almost like going to another country because it's its own little world. It's an island. It's different. You know, they've got their own kind of unique microculture there, and it's a really, really special place to visit. So that's been a top one for our guests as well.
Those all sound incredible, and I admit I am doing one of those. I'm doing the Via Francigena in autumn. So we're trying to go from the stage after Lucca, which is right near Florence, all the way to Rome over, I think it's 17 days. And my big debate now is, are we trying to do too many kilometers every day? Because it's just, you know, there's always this balance of doing a complete route and then just enjoying yourself. So my wife and I have the first part. We've decided where we want to go. But after that, some of the days can get long. So we haven't booked everything yet except for the flights. But we know that we want to go and explore that because it just seems like this incredible route that goes through all these hill towns of Tuscany with the great food and the great wine and then into Lazio and then finally into Rome.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful route. I think we'll have to do a podcast where I interview you on the Via Francigena when you get back, Richard, so we can get the scoop.
It's not as well known. So luckily we have all the information here at Ten Adventures to help doing this.
Exactly.
The Camino is really, there's lots of resources out there, but
it's a little lesser known.
Let's move on to France, one of my favorite countries.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Tour de Mont Blanc, which starts in Chamonix in the French Alps, but what are some other popular areas?
Yeah, so Tour de Mont Blanc, definitely popular for those trekking in France partially this summer. But we've seen a lot of guests hopping on two wheels to explore France, or planning to, rather, this summer. So the Loire Valley in central France, various options ranging from, you know, trip length. You cycle essentially the Loire a Vélo, which is a long distance cycle path there. And there's different combinations of different trip lengths that you can dive into, you know, shorter ones of 6 days, longer ones of 12 days. It's a really culturally rich area of France, fairy tale like villages, amazing food and wine, it goes without saying, historical sites. So people really enjoy a great balance of leisure on these historical cycling trips in France, as well as, you know, they're pursuing their active passion at the same time. On the same vein, the Via Rona. A lot of guests are booking the Via Rona, another long distance cycle path that has a ton of options, you know, from shorter trips all the way up to the longer ones. You can complete the full Via Rona, which traces the Rhone River, of course, starting in Geneva and going all the way to Orange. You're passing through endless vineyards, charming towns, fields of lavender, which is what I think when I think of France. And it goes without saying, amazing food and wine in that area as well. So if you're looking to do a self-guided bike tour and you're not really sure, you know, you're wanting to do mostly dedicated cycle paths, combining great food and wine, France is a great destination to think of, particularly those two cycle paths and routes.
And there's two things that I just love about cycling in France. First off, you know, here in North America, we're always on busy roads. And
yes,
so there's lots of paths that go on just like dedicated bike paths beside canals or on these like unused roads where you see a car every like 5 or 8 minutes and it's not going very fast. And so just being able to cycle without kind of the fear of, or the, you know, the feeling of cars rushing by is great. The best part, though, is when you pass the patisserie or the boulangerie and you've cycled 40 kilometers already, you can get a big chunk of cheese and a fresh baguette, or you can get a croissant, or you can stop for a great coffee, and there's no worry. So, you know, you can eat to your heart's content, which is you can't do if you're just, you're doing a regular trip in France.
It's very true. Yeah, there's definitely a level of indulgence that comes with traveling through France, especially when you're working up an appetite on bike. Another country that, you know, tends to top our summer charts, but we are seeing a bit of a deviation, is Spain. So Spain, for the longest time, we saw a ton of guests booking Caminos in July and August. We're kind of seeing more guests tend to lean towards the spring and autumn season, although we are still getting some summer travelers. This is just because of temperatures rising, and the Camino, in and of its nature, tend to have a very long days, so 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers, which can be, you know, pretty grueling if you're walking in extreme heat. So definitely a top summer trip still for us, but again, we are seeing more people lean towards those spring and autumn months that are a little bit cooler. That being said, talking about Caminos, Richard, we have recently added a ton of new Caminos, which we're really excited about. So a ton of slow-paced itineraries for those that maybe, you know, the thought of walking 25 or 30 kilometers in a day doesn't sound all that appealing. We've got some that chop those stages down into shorter, you know, more approachable lengths. Deluxe hotel itineraries. So maybe instead of staying the kind of standard 1 and 2 star hotels on the Camino, you're going to be upgraded into really charming, nice 4-star properties, and then some unique variants like the spiritual variant as well. So I would definitely recommend checking out our lineup of Camino tours online. And it is one of those trips where it's difficult to know where to begin sometimes. So I would say reach out to your adventure specialist to ask some questions, or you can check out some of our blog resources on the Caminos as well.
Yeah, I feel like we pretty much have every Camino option now at 10 Adventures.
And we do.
We just have so much demand. And what, as you said earlier, people do the Frances usually to start, and then they want to do something different. Maybe they go the Camino del Norte or the Primitivo, or they go to Portugal and do one of the two routes there. Uh-huh. Or they start looking abroad and say, oh, let's go down and do a Via Francigena or the Way of St. Francis. And, you know, we just said, okay, well, let's just make sure they, you know, travelers can find everything they need at 10 Adventures. So I'm really excited about a lot of these new tours because it just lets people get out and explore the Camino. And it's just so beautiful to go through these different charming villages. And again, it's the great food, the great drink, the camaraderie at the end of each day with all the other pilgrims that makes these so special.
Yeah, it's definitely a really special type of trip, and people tend to get hooked. Lastly, on my list for countries that we see being very popular in summer 2024 year after year would be Portugal. A country close to my heart. As I mentioned, I got married in Portugal last year, so I absolutely love Portugal. Two areas in particular in Portugal, the Costa Vicentina. So we're heading to southwest Portugal to take a look at this area. It's home to the Vicentine Coast Natural Park. It's known as one of Europe's most spectacular coastlines. So walking this coastline or cycling this coastline is an amazing experience. It spans both the Alentejo and also the Algarve regions of Portugal. So here you're thinking limestone cliffs, expansive golden beaches, seaside villages. Of course, goes without saying, amazing seafood. And our guests that are planning to explore that part of Portugal are in for a treat, I must say. Secondly, Madeira. We've had quite a few guests traveling in Madeira earlier in the year already as well, and the photos are just phenomenal. So this is an island of Portugal. The important thing here is to book early because Madeira doesn't have that many hotel options. They do fill up quite far in advance, so it's not the best trip to be planning last minute. But if Madeira isn't on your list, it should be. It is the most populous and densely populated Portuguese island, but it's super exotic. It's known for its cloud forests, the lava rock formations that cover the island, banana plantations, and really, really colorful and diverse flora and fauna. So Madeira is a gem, definitely a hidden gem in Portugal that's waiting to be discovered on foot.
And I've just heard so many people rave about Madeira.
Yes, same. It's,
my wife's aunt lives there, and she raves about it, but it just, you know, you see the photos, it really is spectacular. And I've heard some people say it's like an alternative to Hawaii that's just much, yeah, much better value with, yes, you know, Portuguese quality food and wine, which makes it really, really special.
Exactly. And you can spend a few days in Lisbon before and after on the way in, and it's the perfect trip. So we'll move on to some trips that are topping the charts for our guests, specifically in 2024 that maybe we didn't expect to see topping the charts. So some alternative ideas for trips this summer, Croatia. And in particular, this is kind of a surprise because, you know, at 10 Adventures, we're often working with guests that are hiking and cycling, but we also do offer a range of other trip types. And sailing in Croatia has been a really popular trip type for our guests this summer. Sailing the Adriatic, I can't think of a more summer-like adventure than that. So we offer a range of private charter trips on the Adriatic. There's some 3-day tours, 4-day tours, 5-day tours. It's a great idea for a family adventure, for an extended family, maybe getting together to spend time all in one place. There's a great balance of spending time on the water, usually about 4 to 5 hours of sailing in the day, and then spending your evenings eating in really cool restaurants and exploring towns like Hvar and Dubrovnik, Kerkula. There's just a wealth of opportunity to really dive into the beauty and the culture of Croatia, both on land and on sea.
That trip is on my bucket list. My wife and I have a list of what we want to do the next 10 years. And it's like,
yes,
an incredible way to explore and also just to be like really intimate. You know, you can go on these large cruise ships and, you know, you kind of never feel like you're on water. Whereas sailing, you're in water, you know, you're in these tiny ports. You're able to see places you just can't see in a cruise ship. So
yeah, exactly.
That is very high on my bucket list. That looks like just an incredible trip.
Yeah, it redefines that whole idea of cruising, absolutely. And I should add, you don't need to have any sailing experience. All of these boats, these private charter boats, come with an experienced skipper. So there's no need to take any sailing lessons before. You just kind of show up with your family and get ready for the trip of a lifetime. Another popular trip for our guests that incorporates Croatia is the Venice to Croatia cycling tour. And that one is one that tops the charts every single year, starting in Venice, ending in Porec in Croatia. It's a top summer bike tour for our guests every year, and this season is no exception. Another one that we see on there, Ireland, and in particular, I guess both hiking and cycling in Ireland has been really popular for our guests. Specifically the Donegal region. So that's northwestern Ireland, known for its rugged coastlines, its mountains, stunning beaches, Gaelic culture, which is also just such a unique, incredible culture to tap into, both self-guided and group tour options in that area, particularly great for hiking. Another one, and this is a classic, it's popular for our guests every year, but it's popped up quite a bit this summer, is cycling the Ring of Kerry. So we're heading south for this one to the County Kerry. You've got incredible villages, traditional pubs, even forts from the Bronze Age in this part of Ireland. So really, really, really cool tour. You do a big loop, circular ride, and it's a popular trip every single year and is this year as well. And then there's a few other popular hiking trails, and we're seeing a few bookings here and there for the Dingle Way, the Sheep's Head Way, the Kerry Way, they all have such fun names. but lots of hiking opportunities in Ireland. If you're interested in learning more, definitely reach out.
Those ones sound great, and I'm excited to go across the Irish Sea into Scotland, because that's a place I've explored a little bit and definitely want to go back there, because it's just such a captivating location.
It is captivating. And I will say, I'm half Scottish. My dad is from Glasgow. And so the trip that we're seeing a lot of guests booking is actually a trip that is on my bucket list with my dad, the West Highland Way. So this is known as the Scottish Camino. Spain has their Camino. If Scotland was to have a Camino, it would be the West Highland Way. It's their most famous long-distance hiking trail. It's about 155 kilometers total in length. It starts in Milngavie, which is just north of Glasgow, and then it heads all the way to Fort Williams, which is in the Scottish Highlands. So as you can imagine, the scenery is just absolutely breathtaking. A land of lochs and glens, essentially. It never ends. And really charming little towns along the way where you can stay in cozy bed and breakfast. And so that one is definitely on my list with my dad. The standard West Highland Way is about 8 days in length, and it can be done on a self-guided basis, or you can also join a mixed group for that one as well.
And the nice thing, once you're in Fort William, you're at the base of Ben Nevis, so you can climb the biggest peak in all of the UK.
Yes, in all of the UK. I was going to say in Scotland, but you're right, it's in all of the UK. You got hill bagging, as they call it. I'd say another trend we're seeing, Richard, you know, beyond specific destinations, is just a kind of push towards people booking group tours. And I don't mean like mixed group tours. I mean kind of traveling with your own group. So we've had some, you know, reoccurring annual group trips, you know, a group of couples, maybe 8 or 10 people that come together and they do a different bike tour every year. We're seeing groups of extended families traveling together. So, you know, mom, dad, grandparents, brothers, sisters may live all across Canada or the U.S. and they're kind of all meeting in one place in Europe for a summer biking adventure on the Camino, that type of thing. There are so many benefits of group travel. Our team is highly equipped to help organize and make that as easy as possible for people that are looking to plan group trips. So that's definitely a trend we're seeing for summer of 2024 as well.
And the best part is the way we can invoice it. You know, if you're organizing the trip, you don't have to pay for it all. You can get separate invoices for all members of the group, which I've organized trips and, you know, you pay everything and then somebody flakes out. You're like, I've paid $2,000 for you.
And you're on the hook.
Yeah. Then, you know, the person who's organizing it all is on the hook. In fact, one of our podcast guests, Glenn Van Pesky, he does something really cool that I'm going to start doing. He has an email list of like, I think 40 or 50 people that he really likes that are good travelers. And every few months he says, hey, I'm going to go do this. I've got 8 spaces to go, you know, walk the John Muir Trail, or I'm going to go hiking in the Dolomites. Who wants in?
Oh, wow.
And he just kind of just puts the date out and, you know, how much it's going to cost. And then people join up, and it's a great way for him to keep in touch with friends. And he also does it to people he has these random meetings with. So people he just wants to get to know better. And I thought, oh, it's really hard to coordinate a trip, you know, with at least with my social group. But if you just say, hey, I'm going to be in Spain on these days, if anyone wants to join me, it allows this kind of people just to join if they want. It's, you don't, you know, you can kind of get the trip you want and then just open it up. And as more people come, you save a bit of money as well and you get to reconnect. So it's kind of, you know, the way Glenn does it is really a really great idea to kind of, you know, find this easy way to have these fun trips with people you care about.
Yeah, that's key. And you said it. It's just finding a way to do that and keeping it simple and stress-free as possible for the trip organizer.
Here we are. It's near the end of April. I know some people are worried they've missed their chance to book a trip this summer. At the same time, I've seen a couple great flight deals to Europe pop up for kind of, you know, June, July, and August, where it feels like there is some good deals on flights. But can people get booked onto a great cycling or hiking tour, or is it too late?
It's absolutely not too late, Richard. So, you know, we can't all be the person that's been planning our summer adventure since last autumn. It would be nice to have, you know, that kind of time to plan ahead. But of course, we don't all have that type of time. So for the vast majority of trips, definitely still possible. There are some trips, you know, like we talk about the TMB or the Lagavulin Trail, where there's a select number of accommodations. You know, those are pretty challenging to book at this point. But the vast majority of the trip ideas we've shared today are definitely still bookable. A couple of tips for those that maybe haven't booked their summer trip yet that are looking to do so. If you're looking to book in April or May, I would say be flexible with the dates by a few days. So if you can say, you know, we can start on June 7th, but also a few days before and a few days after, that really gives us the opportunity to say, hey, if that date's not available, we'll pivot and try that date instead. So that's a really good plan to walk into it with. Another one would also be to have some backup plans as well. So maybe not just one idea that you're fixed on. Sometimes people get very hyper-focused on a certain trail, like the Tour de Mont Blanc, but then we kind of say, hey, how about the hot route? You know, there's always other options that we can kind of pivot to if we keep an open mind. So those would be my points of advice. And lastly, just reach out ASAP. Give us a call, send myself or one of my colleagues an email, and we can get the ball rolling for a summer trip ASAP.
You know, you mentioned the Tour de Mont Blanc, and every year, you know, we get hundreds of requests, you know, starting in kind of March and going through all summer. People want to do the Tour de Mont Blanc, and I've done it. It's an incredible trek, but I spent a lot of time in the French Alps, and it's all beautiful. Like the Tour de Mont Blanc is especially beautiful, but the Tour de la Vanoise, the Haute Route to Zermatt, going down in the Queyras, going in Mercantour National Park, like as you go south, it's just all spectacular. And choosing a less visited place, you're still going to get these incredible views. You can get them last minute. And also, it's kind of nice when you have fewer people on the trail to kind of be able to walk without seeing other people. You kind of can commune with nature a little bit better. So, yeah, everyone who's thinking the Tour de Mont Blanc for this year, you know, try something else in France. It is really just the French Alps are just so spectacular.
Yes, definitely. That's great advice. And I will say, if you are dead set on the Tour de Mont Blanc, it's likely not possible on a self-guided basis, but we do have quite a few spaces left on the guided group trips as well. And the same goes for the Lagavulin Trail in Iceland. So people reach out for self-guided and we say, hey, not possible, but how about joining a mixed group? And they kind of, you know, buy into that. So something to think about for sure.
One thing I've seen a lot this year, and it's kind of wild. Every year, I see more and more e-bikes. And I was out last weekend. Both days, kind of, there's a massive nature park here in Calgary. I was out walking kind of for 3 or 4 hours. And what struck me is I'm now at the point where we see more e-bikes than regular bikes. And I've even had friends who have never ridden a bike who are on e-bikes asking me about, hey, can I do an e-bike tour instead of like renting a car? And I'm so excited because riding a bike, especially in Europe and some of these, you know, beautiful areas, it's just a spectacular way to explore. But can you maybe share how someone can, you know, do their first e-bike tour?
Yeah, definitely. So it's a trend for sure. Started last season, but picking up even more so in the 2024 season. I think it comes down to the environmental benefits of doing an e-bike tour. It makes cycle tourism a lot more accessible to people, a wider range of people that maybe couldn't do it on a regular bike. And there's also been vast improvements to the bikes themselves. They're lighter these days, they last longer, they're faster. So these can kind of all combine into a cocktail of making e-biking really, really popular. I would say if a person wants to go on their first e-bike trip, and we do have quite a few people that are going on their first e-bike trip with us this coming summer, a great place to start is, you know, rent an e-bike for a day at home or a weekend and get it out on the trails and test it and see if it's something you enjoy. Or, you know, buy your own and ride it around at home in preparation for your trip. I think this is a great way to see if it's a way or a method of travel that you would enjoy abroad in a trip setting. Another one would be to start with a shorter trip length. So maybe don't book a 10-day e-bike tour to start right at the beginning. If it's your first e-bike tour, maybe you're going to want to look at a 6-day tour where there's, you know, an arrival departure day and then 3 days of e-biking, or a 7-day tour where it's 4 days of e-biking. Another thing to keep in mind is a good balanced itinerary. So perhaps an e-bike tour where you're spending 3-4 hours on the bikes each day. You can visit museums, parks in the afternoon, head to the beach, head out for a nice dinner. A really well-balanced itinerary where it's not all e-biking, but kind of allows you to get your feet wet.
And are there some great e-bike tours for people that want to do their first one?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, we have so many. So the vast majority of trips that you see on 10 Adventures that are standard bike tours can also be done with e-bikes. So even if e-bike is not in the tour name, it's often that you can book that trip, that exact same trip, but rent e-bikes instead of a hybrid or a mountain bike. When it comes to e-bikes, e-bike tours that we're seeing guests book, and a few of my favorites, this is a really cool one because it combines a bike and boat. It's the Douro River e-bike cruise. Douro River, of course, being in Portugal. The Douro area is the oldest demarcated wine region in the world, obviously famous for producing Portugal's port wine. So as you can imagine, a really, really great place to be during summer travels. You're exploring Portugal's stunning Douro Valley during the day on two wheels as part of a guided e-bike group. And then settling into your room on a river cruise ship every night. So I can't think of anything, more charming and wonderful than that for a summer adventure. Another one would be the Alpe Adria. So there's a smaller or shorter trip, rather, that goes from Villach in Austria to Grado. This is actually a trip that we've booked two guests of ours from the US. It's their first time ever doing an e-bike tour, and they settled on this one because it's a 6-day tour, which means just 3 days of e-biking. No biking on arrival day, no biking on departure day. It's a really great way for them to kind of get the hang of e-biking, get the feel of a self-guided tour on e-bikes. It's complete with dedicated cycle paths, so they're not going to be cycling in traffic, which is something they were concerned with, moderate distances, and then they have plenty of time to enjoy leisure activities too. So that's a great trip for first timers. That's the Alpe Adria. And then lastly, the Piedmont Barolo Hills wine and bike tour. We talked about the Piedmont region a little bit earlier being very popular in Italy. Anybody that books this trip, whether they're, you know, avid cyclists or not, they tend to book this trip on an e-bike. It just goes without saying that being in this region, you're going to be going to wineries, having a lot of great meals, stopping along the way for long extended lunches, tastings. E-bikes are the answer. You know, it gives you that flexibility to kind of pedal as much or as little as you'd like and still really, really enjoy the gastronomy and the indulgence along the way as well. So I'd say those are the top three.
They all sound incredible, Nadine. I would like to do them as well.
Same.
So, Nadine, we've talked a lot about Europe, which is spectacular. And I think everyone understands why Europe is so beautiful and everyone has these dreams of living the good life there. But there are some options to do things a little bit different. And I know a lot of people, they've seen a lot of Europe. They've seen a lot of kind of the conventional places. Are there some things unique that are becoming more popular here at 10 Adventures?
Definitely. I kind of thought about that question and thought, okay, what are some more outside of the box trip ideas that we're seeing our guests book for summer of 2024? And immediately what came to mind was self-drive tours. For those of you who are not familiar with a self-drive tour, it's a really, really great way to travel on a self-guided basis. So it's an independent private trip. You've got your car rental, your accommodations, you've got your very detailed and comprehensive road book, you have some activities booked along the way, but really you're able to fill in the blanks of your itinerary, although you have a plan getting from point A to point B. And these are really popular for our guests, particularly in Canada. So we've got an incredible self-drive tour that goes through the heart of the Canadian Rockies, which is really popular. There's one that goes through Quebec and then another one on the east coast of Canada, one of my favorite places in Canada, Newfoundland. So really, really unique trip type. And we see families, couples booking these trips. You know, you all kind of pile into a car. And what's more exciting than a summer road trip, right? And visiting some of Canada's most beautiful destinations.
You know, the self-drives are just, it's in places with, you know, such vast distances like Canada. And yes, kind of a lack of public transit, especially in these remote places, they make it so great. Actually, last year, I think maybe the year before, my parents did a bus tour of Newfoundland, and they didn't realize they could do a self-drive. And they said, "Oh, I didn't even know where we're supposed to go." So they booked on to like a 15-day bus tour. And bus tours are great in some respects, but you know, they kind of came back and said, "Okay, I think next time we're gonna see if we can find a self-drive," because you know, they kind of didn't get the personal experience they wanted. It was, you know, this group experience, and they didn't go to some of the places they wanted to go. So self-drive tours are incredible. Actually, a self-drive tour in Chile that we offer is now on my family bucket list, because when I've been to Chile, I always just, you know, use public transport, and then there's places you can't go, and then I just thought, holy crow, like, I can drive the entire Carta Austral all the way up. And yes, like, what a great way to explore. And kind of, it's the same thing here in the Rockies or Canada. You can use buses a little bit, but you miss so much when you're reliant on public transportation.
You do. And there's nothing better than being able to do it at your own pace. So if it's a trip type that you've never explored and you want to learn more, definitely reach out, because we have quite a few options for self-drive trips across the globe. Another one I'm working with two guests in Canada to do this July is a really unique hiking tour. We've talked so much about the popular destinations in Europe, but how about this one? They are doing an 11-day guided hiking tour in Albania, Kosovo, and North Macedonia. Really, really outside of the box option, but like, wow. I've done a bit of research while I've been helping them plan this trip and just looking at photos of the national parks they'll be visiting and, you know, diving into, you know, a very distinct culture in each of those areas is going to be really special. So that's another one if you're looking for something a little bit outside of the box. And then the Cordillera Huayhuash Trek in Peru is another one that we've seen quite a few guests book for the summer months. So the best season for trekking in this area is the dry season between May and September. So kind of June, July, August, all great months, summer months to trek there. You can join a guided trekking group. They'll help you see some of the most beautiful mountains and landscapes in the Peruvian Andes.
I did that, probably 20 years ago, and we still have photos on our wall. It really is spectacular. It's tough trekking though. It's, you're at high Definitely. Altitude pretty quickly. And so, that's one where spend some time in Juarez before to just to acclimatize, because you get up to over 4,000 meters so quick. And, you know, being younger and being invincible, I thought, oh, we can handle this. So we went from Lima at sea level up to Juarez and spent a day there, and then we're on the trail.
Just a day. Oh my goodness. Yeah. We usually say 3 days of pre-trekking is ideal in Juarez.
That was probably the toughest trek I did, just because just moving my legs was just a battle. I think we topped out at, 4,600 meters? And it was just like moving through molasses. So definitely get prepared if you're going to do that one.
Lesson learned, yeah.
We talked a little bit about Western Canada, the Rockies. I live here, and obviously I'm passionate about it, but for somebody who lives in Eastern Canada, And, you know, you talk to guests, what do they say about Western Canada? Why are, you know, why is there, you know, the outsider interest in this wonderful place?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you've never been to Western Canada, the photos you see of Lake Louise and the mountains are jaw-droppingly beautiful is the first thing that comes to mind. It's a popular summer destination, not only for international guests, but also for hordes of Canadians that are traveling from one side of the country or from the middle of the country to the west. I think it's that true quintessential Canadian wilderness experience that is on so many people's bucket lists. You think of Canada and you just think of, you know, hiking and camping and being in the mountains, and it's summer's the most ideal time to do that. And so I'm actually currently working with a family from Poland, and they said, you know, we've been seeing pictures of Lake Louise for years, and it's been our dream as a family to come and explore, you know, this amazing area in Canada together. And so actually they've booked a self-drive tour with us, and they're going to be exploring the heart of the Rockies over 14 days. But I think it's also, you know, it's a mecca for the outdoor enthusiast, of course, but it also comes down to being more affordable and accessible than, say, traveling in the Western U.S. You know, Western Canada can be more accessible if you're traveling with a larger family and you want to keep costs down. It is a lower cost option than traveling the Western U.S. as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And that's our plan this year, is we're just exploring the Rockies with some bike tours and backpacking and camping and
your own backyard.
When you live here growing up, you don't realize how special it is. But having traveled all over the world, just this nature. And what surprises people is cell phones don't work in a lot of places. As soon as you leave the highway or the town, cell phones are kind of useless other than for taking photos. And just have that ability to have tranquility and, you know, time where you've got to talk with each other and get to know each other. It just creates some of the best memories.
Definitely. It's a special part of Canada for sure. And if you're looking for a Canadian adventure, we've got, you know, guided group trips where you can join a hiking and camping trips. You don't have to have any, you know, experience or your own gear. You just join a group. Self-drive tours we've talked about. We've got an incredible road biking trip that starts in Jasper and ends in Banff. There's tons of options for exploring Canada. So if it's on your bucket list, definitely reach out, because we'd love to help you plan a summer trip.
Definitely. And it is a wonderful place to explore.
I guess a good place to end it here, Richard, would be, I know I get this question from a lot of our guests as well that are traveling with kids. Obviously, there's a little bit more to think about when you're planning a summer vacation. It's not just you and your spouse or you and a friend. If you're planning a trip and it involves kids, you know, how about some tips for our audience about how you do that? You know, what's the top activities for the kids, the trip length you try to stick to? Any tips for survival?
I think one thing my wife and I have realized is the perfect moment where the kids are calm for 5 or 6 days and they're appreciative and everything's like a Disney movie. It isn't like that. It's, you know, in reflection, it was all great. But in the moment, sometimes it's really, really tough. And I talked to one guest on my podcast and they had great advice. And she said, just recognize this is tough and don't let it get you down, because kids invariably, they'll bicker, they'll have tough days. If you're being active, you know, they'll run out of energy sooner than you will, or they'll get hungry and get hangry, as they say. So I think the big thing I've learned is, okay, just try and roll with it. And, you know, don't worry if it's not this kumbaya moment where we all come together as a family all the time. You know, enjoy those moments, but just accept that kids are kids. The big thing for us is we like to do a lot of backpacking, and it's just understanding kids are different than us as adults. So little things, we stop for a little candy break or snack break every 45 minutes so that they never get hangry. We force them to drink, because our kids at least forget to drink, or at least one of them does. We do shorter days, although we're at the point now where the kids, provided I'm carrying all their gear, can now do like 20 kilometers or 1,000 meter elevation. So we can kind of do regular days. It goes a bit slower. Looking internationally, what we found is kids can be much harder hit from jet lag than us as adults. You know, we think, oh man, it really hurts us. But for kids, they've never dealt with this. And so usually our first couple of days, if we've traveled over an ocean, we like to just get a hotel and just explore that city and just make it really easy, and then prioritize just be outside with natural light, because at least for us, that really helps with just kind of acclimatizing to the new time zone. The last thing we've done is we've let the kids really start to think and plan. What do they want to see where we go. The new thing we're doing is like, where do you want to go? And I was talking to one of our advisors who did a round the world trip with his family, and each person got to write down five places they wanted to go and then choose one that they definitely went. And so it was kind of like a democratic way that to see where they want to go, but also a way for each kind of child to get their bucket list. And what happened was the kids were really, really engaged in that process. They learned about the places they wanted to go. And then when they went there, they were super, super excited about it. And so we've started doing that with our trips. We're going to South Dakota, of all places, here in about a month. And the kids said, oh, I really want to do this, or I really want to do that. So we're going to go see some wolves. And there are these, I think they're like little carts you go down a mountain on. But by involving the kids, they really buy in a lot more, and they're, you know, way more excited, and they don't kind of need that convincing of this is going to be good. They know it's going to be good because they picked it. And so that's been really successful, kind of in early days for us doing it in our family. But again, talking to others who do this, it's a really great way to kind of engage the kids and get them as excited about travel as, you know, as we are as their parents.
I love that idea. Yeah, having them involved not only in the trip itself, but in the planning and the lead up to it does just make them so much more involved. And like you said, they're guaranteed to have a good time if they've had a chance to kind of decide where you're going and what you're going to be doing. So that's great. That's great advice.
And actually, I'll give one more tip is when things are really going wrong, bring out the iPad, have a movie downloaded. In our case, we have some Harry Potters on my phone, just the audio book. So, you know, you got a long drive and, you know, sometimes kids are grumpy. We put on Harry Potter for a couple hours and that seems to sort everything out. Or if it's really bad, you know, put a movie on the iPad and just, you know, don't ruin the holiday because you want to, you know, commit to no tech time or, you know, regular screen limits. It should be a holiday for you as parents as well.
Yeah, be kind to yourself. There you go. Great advice, Richard. That's awesome.
Well, Nadine, thanks for coming on the podcast and sharing all this. You've definitely whetted my appetite for some more bucket list trips. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share all these cool itineraries and ideas.
Always a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to hearing from anyone in our audience that is looking to plan a summer adventure in 2024.
So I'll put links to a lot of the trips you talked about in the show notes, and also just how you can contact us if you're interested. And with that, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. We'll be back next week to explore the world and hear about more epic adventures. Start planning your own adventure by visiting us at 10adventures.com and listen to other episodes of the 10 Adventures podcast on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.